purpose. Otherwise, what is the purpose of knowledge? Every living being is seeking happiness. It is our nature. And through pursuing knowledge, we are with the hope that such advancement of education will bring about a greater sense of happiness and prosperity, both within our own individual lives, as well as our families, our society, and the whole world. And that is the purpose of university. University means that place where we understand with greater profound depth what is the universe. What is the purpose of this universe? Who we are, and what are we supposed to do in this universe? The original universities and colleges in the world were set up for this purpose, to give higher education. Here, IIT, the Indian Institute of Technology, is considered to be a very, very sophisticated and highly respected place to receive higher education. But the question is, what is really the definition of higher education? The human being is unique amongst all species of life because the human being has the power to reason. Whereas the lower species are simply behaving according to their bodily and mental instincts. Every living being is seeking pleasure. And the animals are seeking pleasure through base physical experiences such as eating and sleeping and mating and defending. Education, which simply teaches us how to create a life and a civilization where we can enjoy greater varieties of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, is not higher at all. It is simply more sophisticated. Real higher education is when we seek something higher as a purpose of life than the physical and mental pleasures that this world has to provide. If we get our MA, BA, PhD, whatever it may be, but we utilize that gift of knowledge simply for the purpose of increasing the same standards that the animals have of material, physical, and mental enjoyment, it is not really higher at all. Whether you are a dog sleeping in the street, or whether you are a human being sleeping in a big palatial skyscraper building, whether you're a hog eating the garbage in the street, or whether you are eating in five-star hotels, whether you are a dog having sexual affair with a female dog, or whether you are having with a beautiful wife, producing children in this way, or whether you are defending with your teeth and claws, or whether you are defending with guns and missiles and bombs. The basic principle of life is the same. And today we find that so-called higher education has simply increased variegated and very dangerous forms of animal instinctive civilization. Human existence is meant for the higher education which teaches us who we are. What is real pleasure? What is birth? What is death? And how it relates to me? Unfortunately, the people coming out of your universities are the people causing the greatest problems in this world, because they do not know how to use the power of knowledge. Because they do not have a development of character and spiritual awareness. We are inventing great machines. The automobile, the internal combustion engine, can get us from one place to another place faster. But how many problems have we created along with it? There is terrible air pollution, which is causing cancerous effects and so many diseases. There is the greenhouse effects, which is threatening the survival of our planet. There are so many crashes and accidents and frustrations and deaths. And we have learned how to manipulate the atomic particles and somehow or other harness the energy of the atom. And what is the result? Massive, terrible bombs. Instead of dogs growling at each other, now nations are threatening to press the button and destroy millions of lives at a time. Also in Russia, we have seen recently there was some sort of a leak in an atomic power plant, and tens and thousands of people died, hundreds and thousands became invalid for life with various diseases and deformations. Now there's atomic waste in the earth, in the ocean. They don't know what to do with it. It never goes away. And there's absolutely no container that can contain it for any length of time. So they're just like time bombs ready to pollute the earth, pollute the soil, pollute the oceans. And in the name of big, big agricultural businesses, the topsoils of the earth is being destroyed. So much pollution's due to chemicals that the very food you eat for nourishment is generally filled both inside and out with cancerous chemicals, which destroys your health. And of course, we talk about shortage of food, starvation. There's no shortage of food that the earth can provide. It is a great myth of exploitation that there's an overpopulation. Even in India, there is no overpopulation. There's just an overabundance of greed. This world can easily provide enough food for 100 times the population of this earth. Easily. But these various corporations and big, big educated graduates of colleges are convincing you, eat meat. It has protein. It will make you healthy and it tastes good. And 20 pounds of grains gives you 1 pound of meat. Ecologically, how much grain can 20 people feed? 20 pounds feed. It can feed all of us for several days. And 1 pound of meat, 2 people could have 1 meal. And in order to get that meat, you need so much grain that these companies are cutting down major proportions of the rainforests of the earth. And the rainforests are giving the earth most of its oxygen and also is conducive to rains. When you cut down the rainforest, there's a lack of oxygen and there will be droughts. And then other aspect parts of the earth, there are droughts. Not caused simply by nature, but by caused by man meddling with nature due to greed and cruelty and ignorance. And in most countries, a massive amount of land is used to grow tobacco, coffee, tea, grains for alcohol. What to speak of some of the most fertile soils in the world are being used to grow opium for cocaine, heroin, and all these things. None of these give nourishment. They are all meant simply to kill you, to intoxicate you. They have no value. So because we do not know how to use our advanced knowledge for the purpose of making our life and the world a better place, it is the educated people of society that are creating the most terrible and apparently unsolvable material problems in this world. This is the subject of our discussion tonight: material problems and spiritual solutions. The problems we are facing are generally created by man meddling with nature in an unnatural way. And what do we mean by natural and unnatural? In order to understand, we must understand first who we are before we can understand what is nature, what is our nature, and what is natural. We are all essentially spiritual. We are not these bodies. The first principle of ignorance is to think we know, but we do not know who knows. This body is a temporary machine which is born, it grows, it has some duration, it produces some offspring, and then it dwindles and dies. But through all the changing of this body, the person who is conscious, that is the animating force of this body, remains the same. And that is you. Or me. You are not an I seeing, but you are seeing through your eye. You are not your ear hearing, but you are hearing through your ear, thinking through your brain, feeling through your flesh, tasting through your tongue, smelling through your nose, loving through your heart. But who are you? This is the science that is most needed to understand, comprehend in our world today. We are the conscious force, the soul, the Atma, which is part of God. And the nature of the Atma being the part of the Supreme Paramatma, or Krishna. Krishna means God. The all-attractive, all-powerful, supreme controlling force. We are meant to act in harmony with the will of God and with the laws of nature, which has been created by God or Krishna. And that is natural. But when we try to exploit the resources of nature, that creates an unnatural environment both within our own lives and within the world. And thus, so many problems are created. Even unintentionally. The greatest problem for the soul, which is by nature eternal, is that it is now entrapped in a body which is subjected to birth, old age, disease, and death. And these are the greatest problems of life. However educated you may be, you may get gold medal on your exams, you may graduate and get great honors and get the best paying job and so much money and beautiful wife and so much fame and recognition, but it will not make you happy. And in the process, you will get old, you will get diseased, and you will die. And that's a problem. It's a problem everyone is trying to somehow or other avoid. But the greatest technologists, the greatest scientists, they themselves are succumbing to death, not knowing where they will go or who they are. Like miserly men, they leave this world without understanding what is the purpose of life. Is it simply to create a little empire around yourself and die? Or is there something higher? Has this incredible creation where miracles are performed right before our eyes at every moment? Is there a higher purpose than simply trying to enjoy a few pleasures, frustrations in the process, and then death? The higher purpose of life is to understand the original, natural, blissful nature of ourselves and how to live in harmony with nature of the world and the nature of God. And that brings about real happiness. And that is the solution to problems. Because the soul is above, it is transcendental to the miseries and limitations of life. And therefore, unless we understand this wisdom, which is revealed through Bhagavad Gita, the great science book of higher education, then all of our so-called knowledge is simply a decoration, an ornament on our own ignorance. It will do no real good for ourselves, and it will only be a part of the problems of the world. So you are young, intelligent men, and you have the fortune of being born in the land of India, where the very heritage of your country is introspective understanding of higher truths. But unfortunately, not appreciating the value of what you have, the youth of India are chasing after the so-called wisdom of the West and utterly neglecting as something less civilized or irrational or useless the great treasure of what you have. And for someone like myself coming from a Western country to see this, it is the greatest sorrow. It is shameful. There is nothing wrong with a technical education, providing you have the proper characteristics and understanding of life to use it for your own benefit and the benefit of others. This world has been created in such a way that there are three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Sattva-guna, tamaguna, and rajaguna. Guna means rope. A rope is meant to keep you bound.
And these three modes of material nature, when we act according to the impulses of goodness, passion, and ignorance, we become further entangled in the bondage of these gunas.
This is called the laws of karma. For every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction.
Everything you do, everything you speak, there will be a reaction. And the process of reincarnation, or the transmigration of the soul, means at the time of the death. Death means when the soul is evicted from this present temporary body. According to the bondage of our karma, we take another birth.
In 8,400,000 species of life, we can be either promoted or demoted.
And in this way, the world is becoming more and more and more complex
due to so much propagation of so-called knowledge without understanding the soul, without understanding the laws of karma, without understanding what happens at the time of death,
and how we are responsible for everything we do and say.
It is very, very crucial that we realize who we are and what is the real solution to the problems of this world.
The solution is knowledge, enlightenment, spiritual experience and realization. The greed which
impedes people from understanding their true self is the real problem of this world.
Everyone is thinking in terms of their own selfish misconception of the body.
You are thinking you are Indian. I am thinking I am American. Someone else is thinking Pakistani. Some people thinking Russian. And in this way, there will be separate interests over whose land will be utilized for what. And there will be wars. And all over the world, there is wars. The history of mankind is a history of wars. Fear, death, and misery. That is what war means.
And within each nation, there are different racial groups. In my country, the black people and the white people are always fighting each other. There's always tension. There's always deaths and violence between the blacks and the whites,
or between the reds and the whites. The American Indians, at one time there was a great war between the European conquerors and them. And here in this nation, due to caste divisions, due to religious distinctions,
not religion based on spiritual philosophy, but religion based on ethnic identification, Muslim, Christian, Hindu.
The soul is neither Muslim, Christian, or Hindu. The soul is part of God, transcendental to all these designations. These religions are meant to bring the soul to understanding that,
where there can be real peace, real harmony, real brotherhood and sisterhood within the world.
But due to forgetfulness of our spiritual nature, there are innumerable complex problems,
and the greatest thinkers, the greatest politicians,
they can do nothing to solve these problems.
In fact, because in these days, the great thinkers, educationists, politicians, social reformers, because they themselves are in ignorance, they simply perpetuate the problems by trying to create solutions that have no reference to the real solution, and thus further obscuring the real solution from the people in general. If you read the newspapers, the magazines, if you see what are the problems facing the world, things seem so depressing and impossible. And on the material platform, they are. There is only one solution. We must understand what is truth. We must come out of ignorance. That ignorance is the misconception, I am this body, and I am connected to those things designating this body. And knowledge means to understand the truth, that every living being is a spiritual spark, a part of God. And this whole material energy has to be utilized. And all of my education and all of my skills should be offered as a service in harmony with the will of God and the laws of nature. That is the great need. And each one of you is responsible to fulfill that need within society. So you are students. Do well. Study well. Be exemplary. Learn your trade. But simultaneously, understand the most important factor is that you understand how to utilize your skills in pursuance of truth to help make this world a better place. Not to simply be like the general masses, utilizing your skills in pursuance of a misconception and ignorance, creating further bondage in the problems of life. And that is your choice. That is your free will. And you are so fortunate that this opportunity is so easily available to you. These wonderful books, Bhagavad Gita, as it is, by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is explaining these essential truths in the clearest, most simple, and practical terms. Spiritual knowledge is not simply meant for the purpose of discussing and meditating upon. That is the beginning. But spiritual knowledge actually bears its fruits when we apply it practically to our life. And we find amongst our own small congregation here in Bombay some of the biggest industrialists, some of the very learned and gifted engineers, doctors, lawyers, students, housewives. They are applying the principles of truth and dharma to their lives. And they are blissful, joyful. With every act, they are becoming liberated from the bondage of karma and ignorance. And they are actually doing something wonderful for the world, because they are performing their occupations motivated by love, motivated by truth, rather than the common man who is performing the same occupation motivated by ignorance, selfishness, egoism, and greed. This is the choice before each one of you today. It is the most serious choice in your life. The most serious question in your life is not whether I go for an MA or a PhD or an MS. It is not whether I marry this woman or that woman. It is not whether I get a job with this company or that company. Because there's really not that much difference. The real choice that is so crucial today, not tomorrow, today, is will you live your life in pursuance of truth, or will you just follow the masses? What the television tells you, what the hoardings tell you to buy, what the magazines and newspapers and everyone around who's influenced by you. Are you just going to live according to that direction in life? No better than an animal with two legs? Or will you pursue the path of truth and love? Will you live in harmony with reality or illusion? And today I have come as your humble servant to challenge you to very seriously, introspectively look within yourself and ask these questions. What is the purpose of my life? Am I going to live just to be another part of the problem, or am I going to live to solve the problems? Am I this body, or am I a soul? If I am a soul, I should live according to the nature of the soul, in harmony with God, in harmony with truth. Am I going to live in such a way that my actions are deepening me greater and greater in karma, or that every action is liberating me and bringing me closer to the goal of life? Liberation in the loving service of the Supreme. Do not think that you will answer these questions tomorrow. Because as each day goes by, material nature, through the ropes of the three modes, is further entangling you deeper and deeper and deeper. Today is the time. It is the opportune moment. Things which are important should be done at once. Things that are not so important should be put off for another day. But unfortunately, here in India, people have become so unfortunate. If you have something great and due to neglect you lose it, that is the greatest misfortune. If you never have something, then that is not such a great misfortune. The people of India are thinking that religion may be good, spiritual knowledge, philosophy, and pursuance of truth is good. But when I get old, when I'm settled in life and successful, stable, I've built my whole empire of material life around me, then I will pursue these things. And that's what the teachers tell us, and the professors tell us, and our own mothers and fathers sometimes tell us. Do not become so serious about philosophy, religion, and pursuance of reality and truth. Go on in ignorance. Go deeper and deeper into illusion. And become stable in that illusion. Become successful in that illusion. become prominent members of the society of illusion. And then when you become old and your brain's not functioning properly and your senses are decaying, then you think about the most important subjects of life. That is what we are being taught . What the Brahma Sutra says, atato brahma jigyasa. Atato means now, not tomorrow, now. Now you have attained the human form of life, it is the time to inquire into what is truth. Not tomorrow. Do not waste your existence. And the way the world is these days, we do not even know whether we will be in this body tomorrow. So many terrible diseases, so many terrible accidents are happening every day. Komara achare pragyo dharman bhagavatam durlabam manusan janma tharapyadrupam artata. This human form of life is very rare. And we do not know how long we will live. It is emergency. It should be our first priority. And the argument may be given that if I make this pursuance of truth, living in harmony with God's will, if I make this study first in my life, then how will I succeed in my secular studies? But that is a very foolish argument. They must go side by side. In fact, this nice devotee here, Kamalesh, for the past several years, he has been deeply studying the science of the soul, the science of Dharma, and living very perfectly in harmony with that. And just 2 months back, he won gold medal for the whole Bombay University for Chemical Engineering. Huh?
Electronics.
What?
Electronics.
Electronics Engineering? I'm sorry. But not that much difference. So he is evidence that by living a spiritual life, pursuing the truth, it's not that you do less in your studies. Actually, you can do better. One young lady, she was the top in her entire... Most of our devotees are tops in their class. Why? Because they have a deeper motivation by which to study. They are not motivated by selfish greed. They are motivated by a desire to love and serve. And that motivation gives a satisfaction, an inner fulfillment, even to our studies. Because we know what we learn, we will use for a higher purpose. So all the fallacious arguments to somehow or other get us to avoid or procrastinate our spirituality have no validity. It is all lying propaganda. Now is the time. Please question what I want to do in my life, what is the truth, and how am I going to live in pursuance of truth? How I am going to awaken the inner joy and happiness of the soul and express that happiness through my occupation and through all aspects of my life. That is the fulfillment that every living being is longing for.
and that is available for all of us. But we must understand it, and we must apply it to our life every day. And make real spiritual solutions. The solutions to the problems of birth, old age, disease, and death are found in awakening the inner understanding of our spiritual nature. So my humble request is, please take this challenge. And help make this country and the world a better place. Thank you very much. The problem that this world is so much facing, which causes so much terrible suffering, is pollution. We have spoken briefly about the pollution in the oceans. It's a natural, simple joy of life to just go swimming in the ocean or bathing in the ocean. Bombay is bordered, the whole side of it, by ocean. But nobody dares to go in the ocean. Our temple is 3 minutes from Chowpatty Beach. Beautiful beach. But who goes in? If you go in, you get all kinds of diseases, pollution. You have to you're living on the shore of the ocean, and you have to travel 1,000 miles to go in the ocean. The rivers are polluted. The soils are polluted. The air is polluted. This is all extensions of the pollution within the heart. When the mind is polluted, it expresses its activities which pollute the world. The soul is pure. But somehow now it is covered by the pollutions of the mind. And due to these pollutions, we are never satisfied. Therefore, we must purify the mind, clean the mind. Purification and cleansing is the actual solution to all the problems of the world. First, we must clean the environment of our own heart, then we clean the environment of the world. A few years ago, I met with Menaka Gandhi. You have heard of Menaka Gandhi? She's very much an advocate of making the ecology clean. Yes? So I met her at the Delhi airport. And she said to me, "Swamiji, what is your movement doing to solve the problem of the pollution of the ecology?" So I responded that, "Mataji, you're trying to clean up all the bad air and all the bad rivers and all the bad grounds. But in my opinion, all your efforts are cosmetic. You are not really making any solutions." She did not like my answer. She said, "Well, what solution do you have, Swamiji?" I told her, "You can get so much taxpayers' money to clean the rivers and to clean the ground and to clean the air and to clean all these things, and that's good. But as long as there is greed and selfishness and ego and pride and lust and anger in people's hearts, they will just pollute it again. The reason it's polluted now is because man's mind is polluted. And if you clean everything up but you don't clean man's mind, then everything will be polluted again. So the number one problem is not these pollutions, but the pollution in our own minds.
which is the cause, greed. No respect for nature or God or other living beings.
So what our movement is humbly attempting to do on behalf of the Lord and His great devotees is teach people how to cleanse the heart
of selfishness, of ignorance, of greed, of exploitation. If the heart is pure, if the mind is pure, then the true nature of the soul will shine through everything we do.
And that nature is love, of compassion, of tolerance, of respect. That is your nature. But it's hidden. It's obscured. Just like a mirror covered by dirt and dust, you cannot see yourself in it. But you clean the mirror and you can see yourself for what you are. And you can reflect the glory of that light to the world. Are polluted. And the solution is simply to clean the mind. And how do we do that? There is a simple and wonderful process which is recommended in every spiritual science throughout the world and revealed in all the great scriptures. And that is by living in harmony with God, giving up those activities which incriminate us and further pollute us. Illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. By following these four regulative principles, we are not putting the grossest contaminations into our mind. And simultaneously, we cleanse it through the simple and wonderful process of chanting transcendental sound vibration. The recommended mantra, which cleanses the heart and brings it back to its original natural state, is the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. This is not a sectarian religious conception. It is a spiritually scientific means by which anyone and everyone can unlock the treasures of your own soul. Through cleansing the heart. When your heart is pure, your activities will be pure. Your thoughts will be pure. Your words will be pure. And that is our nature. This is the real challenge of human existence, to purify our souls and be a part of the real solutions to the problems of life. Is there any questions? If anyone has any questions, we will be happy to try to answer. Yes.
Is there spiritual as well as material purpose upon it, or is there only spiritual purpose?
In the conditioned state, there is only material purpose in our life. But when we understand that the material purpose of life is ultimately to grow old, get diseased, and die. Yes? Do you deny that or accept that? You may have so many material purposes, but the culmination is old age, disease, and death. But there is a spiritual purpose. And to pursue that spiritual purpose is intelligence. To pursue that way of life in which we can be released from the shackles of the bondage of this bodily conception and thus become free from old age, disease, and death. To realize our eternal nature. To unfold and awaken our natural, spiritual, godly propensities. And then express them through our material efforts. Real knowledge means to integrate our material purpose with our spiritual purpose. You understand? In other words, to utilize the material resources that we have for our spiritual purpose. That is the most sublime understanding of life. It is incomplete to think that because I am spiritual and everything that is around me is material, let me neglect it, let me renounce it. Real renunciation does not mean to not use something because it is material. Real renunciation means to use the material in pursuit of the spiritual goal of life, because that's what it's here for. All matter has its purpose. We have various choices: to use it for the wrong purpose, to not use it at all, or to use it for the right purpose. Which is best? The wrong person's purpose is to use it according to our exploitative, selfish, ignorant state of present consciousness. To not use it at all because it is the cause of bondage is not the highest understanding. But to use it in harmony with the truth, in other words, to use it in the service of God, to use it for the true welfare of all living beings. This instrument is made out of wood, but we are not playing gazelles on this harmonium. We are playing beautiful spiritual sound vibrations that cleanse the heart and induce spiritual realization in the hearts of others. This microphone is metal. We can use rupees in pursuance of the servants of God for the benefit of others, or we could use those same rupees for our own selfish purposes in so many various ways. So this is knowledge. To learn how to utilize the resources of this world for the ultimate good. Not to neglect the resources of this world. And education itself is a resource. You are learning to be, what, engineer? So what will you use your engineering skills and understandings for? Will it be on the basis of ignorance or knowledge? Will you use it as a service to the Supreme, which is your nature, or will you use it in the service of your false ego? That is your choice. One brings about light and happiness, one brings about darkness and misery. Yes? Say again, please.
I was reading a book written by Srila Prabhupada, and he had expressed his views on women's liberation and the world understanding. I couldn't quite clearly get the message. Could you please clarify that?
Today, especially in the Western world,
And it is also influencing India gradually. The conception of woman's liberation is very complex. That women have been exploited terribly by greedy, lustful, and manipulative men. And they are abused, downtrodden, and frustrated. And now they want to fight back. They want to be the exploiters. They want the chance to abuse others. And therefore they want liberation. They want liberation from being exploited. Which we cannot blame. We cannot blame them. But Srila Prabhupada explains that just like politics, there's the ins and there's the outs. Yes? One party's in power, the other party's out of power. Whoever's in wants to stay in, and whoever's out wants to stay, wants to get in. So the men want to exploit the women want to exploit the men, everyone wants to exploit everyone in this world. Real liberation is to understand you are not a woman and you are not a man, you are the eternal soul. That is the only liberation. Because even if women get all rights, they still have to grow old, get diseased, and die. And they still have all diseases and all other complexities around them. They will not be happy. So many people fought for the independence, liberation of India from the British. No doubt the British were exploiting the Indians. And the Indians were thinking, we will be so happy if we are liberated. And then somehow they got so-called liberation, independence. The British left. And then what? The whole country started dividing, East Pakistan, West Pakistan, riots, killings, mass blood everywhere, hatred, confusion, bureaucracy that nobody knew what to do with. Look at India now. You're liberated. But is everybody happy? The political parties are constantly spitting at each other and insulting each other, and there's instability and economic instability, political instability, social instability, fear of racial riots, caste riots, religious riots, communal riots at any moment, so much poverty. So what's so great about this liberation? And now we're looking to the West for relief. We're looking for England, to England for relief. There's nothing so great about this liberation. So women's liberation, India's liberation, Prabhupada is speaking from the point of view of reality. They are not liberation at all. When you realize you're not an Indian, when you realize you're not a woman, when you realize who you really are, the truth, you are the eternal soul, part of God, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, that is liberation. That is the only liberation. Whether you're a woman or a man, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're a slave or a slave owner, you're going to grow old, get diseased, and die, and take another birth where you don't know where. That is bondage. Liberation means knowledge, knowledge of truth. And that liberation is the only liberation that will actually give fulfillment to our life. Does that answer your question? We develop faith in the scriptures by first of all approaching them in a submissive mood. If you come to your university and come before the professor and tell him, "I already know everything," then what will you learn from him? You will learn nothing from him. You have to come before the professor and say, "You know better than me, so please teach me." Then you're receptive to hear. So similarly, we must approach the scriptures in the same way and in those who represent the scriptures. Krishna says in Gita, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upatekshati te jnanam jnaninastvata darshana. We should approach in a submissive mood with a desire to learn. I may know so many subjects of this world, but who I am, where I'm coming from, where I'm going, what is this world, how it is working, who is God, what is my relation to God, what is the relation between myself and this world, why am I suffering? These questions you do not know the answers for. And these are the questions we approach the scriptures to solve. We don't approach the scriptures to solve the questions of how can I make more money, how can I get better promotion in my jobs and all of these things. We approach for transcendental wisdom, for truth. But first we have to admit, I do not know and I need to know. And then we have to hear submissively. But we have to hear from those persons who are actually presenting the truth of the scriptures. That is why Krishna says in Gita, evam parampara praptam idam raja shayavito. That we must understand in the disciplic succession of those who have heard the truth and understood the real meaning. Anyone can declare that this is truth, or that I am God, or this is the meaning of Gita, and give their own idea. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he came to the West. There had already been over 100 translations of Gita, but not a single person in hundreds of years ever attempt to follow what is the teachings of Gita. His translation transformed the life of millions. Why? He explained, because he did not give his own interpretation. He simply presented Gita as it is, as it has always been understood by the great souls throughout history. Then the scripture has power and potency. So we must approach and understand who to approach. If you want to understand engineering, you do not go to the Bhuleshwar where they are selling hand car furniture and ask, "Teach me engineering." Because they will say, if you pay them enough money, they'll tell you, "This is engineering." You have to understand who is qualified. Someone who is from a proper institution like IIT, someone who has gone to previous institutions and who have heard from the right bona fide persons who have their degrees. They can teach you. They are authorized to give you the real science. So when we want to understand the truth, it's not that we just ask anyone for anyone's opinion. We have to approach those persons who actually are presenting the truth of the scriptures. And how do we know that they are certified? They have been trained by a proper spiritual professor who is coming from a school of spiritual professors that have actually preserved through their teachings and through their life the truths of the scriptures. And we have to approach them in a mood to learn. that I do not know, please instruct me. And when you hear in such a way from the right source, you will find that it is not like academic knowledge, where it's just a storage of more and more information in your brain. But you will find, as you hear from them, the innate knowledge within your own self begins to awaken. Education comes from the word educare, which is a Greek word which means to draw out that which is within you. That is the meaning of education. The soul is full of knowledge. To hear that sound vibration that awakens it and draws it out, that knowledge will satisfy your heart and your life.
Yes.
You see, now Western people are now superpowers. Like America is now here. It is superpower. But at the same time, it comes to India. Our spirituality has been the heritage of India. You go to a school with children, but you go to farmers, they will say something about Gita, something about Rama, something about Krishna. But at the same time, even if after 50 years of independence, you see the people are dying from hunger and are not getting enough potable water. But what is the reason? We are so much talking about spirituality, we are talking about religion and everything else. But why we are at the backseat?
Because people graduating from your big, big universities are in ignorance. That's why. And you will be a part of that ignorance unless you wake up. And I will explain. And I have already explained. India, people are starving and diseased because the poor people are being exploited. Why is there no food? Why is there drought? Because people are engaged in activities exploiting the resources of this earth. The fact is there's plenty of money, but where's the money going? The rich are getting richer. There's so much bribery, there's so much treachery. I know as a fact, I will not mention names, but I hear from people who are in big, 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 big positions in this government that there are international organizations giving huge sums of money to your government for helping the poor. And 98% of that money is going into the pockets of the officers in the various, what do you call it, matra or something? In the various offices where they're supposed to dispatch the money, they dispatch it. They divide it amongst themselves. And you have to. If you tell someone that the other person is doing, you get fired. Even if you're an honest person, you have to be a crook to stay in government office these days. And the money's been given to the poor. They don't see any of it. This is a fact. This is a reality. Because of greed. And all these people in these offices are graduates of IIT and Bombay University and all the big, big places. They're not just the fool, uneducated farmers. But who suffers? Ultimately, these people suffer the most for the karma. Greed.
But Americans are much more greedy.
Huh? America is worse. America is worse off than India. It is your illusion that you
but
think
they still have more problems.
They have more problems.
But still we are in worse status than anyone.
No. No. You're not in a worse status. As far as money, you're in a worse status. But as far as happiness, you're no worse. Should I give you some statistics? America, there's a 72% divorce rate. You know what that means? 72% of marriages are divorces within 3 years. Do you get divorced because you're full of bliss? You get divorced because you're totally frustrated, anxiety-ridden, and miserable. And who suffers the worst? The children. Their lives are in shambles, their hearts are torn in two, and practically there is such juvenile delinquency. When I was in school in the 1950s and 60s, there was a survey. What are the problems in the school? You know what the biggest problem in the school was? That people were putting gum under their desk. You know, chewing gum? They would stick it under their desk. Then the next person would come and terrible thing. Or children would talk during class. Or children would run in the halls. That was the only problems we knew in school. But now you look at the statistics. In the big, big schools in America, in the cities, they have metal detectors before you go in school. Now the problems are rape, homosexuality, murdering teachers, students killing each other, assaulting each other, drug addiction, alcoholism. This is how America's progressing in the last 30 years. And nobody goes down the streets alone at night. In most parts of the city, there's security alarms, there's bars in the windows, people are robbed, raped, mugged, in total fear. And there's so much poverty too, believe it or not. But the ghettos in India are basically safe places. But the ghettos in America are like hell. There is so much violence, so much shooting. I used to go to the ghettos to give lectures sometimes. I remember Dayton, Ohio. I was living in a little place. We were giving lectures in a ghetto. And all night long we were hearing guns shooting and sirens of ambulances and police cars. That happens every day, every night. Is that a happy place? So yes, there is poverty here. But why? Ultimately, for one who much is given, much is expected. If you're a young child and you don't know much, and you misbehave, your father will punish you a little. But if you know everything and you're grown up and you misbehave, then you go to jail. Correct? India is the land which is meant to give morality and spirituality to the world. But it's neglected it. And it's imitating the materialistic, sinful ways of the West. And therefore, if an Indian does it, he will have to suffer worse than a Westerner. Because his heritage, his culture, is he's meant to know these things. And that is a fact. So yes, there are many problems here because we are neglecting the culture of our own morality and knowledge.
Does that answer your question? Yes? Most people in poverty or in wealth do not actually understand the science of the soul or chant the names of the Lord in the proper understanding. That is the problem. The greatest poverty in this world is the poverty of the heart. Real wealth is the wealth of devotion, of knowledge, of compassion, of self-satisfaction. That is real wealth, not money. Money does not bring self-satisfaction. But whether you are rich or whether you are poor materially, you can have a life of fulfillment if you have that inner wealth. And that is the most important goal of life, to achieve that inner wealth. Ishavasya midam sarvam. Ishopanishad explains that everything is ultimately the property of God. If you are the proprietor, nothing could ever be taken away from you. But ultimately, at the time of death, nature takes everything away from you. So therefore, you are really not the proprietor of anything. But God is the proprietor of everything. So therefore, to understand how to utilize the resources of this world without excessive greed, that creates an atmosphere where everyone can have enough. The reason why people are poor is because the rich are exploiting more and more and more for themselves. They are creating poverty. I'll give you an example. In America, there are people starving in the streets in America. Most of the cities in America, 70-80% of cities are ghettos. New York, Detroit, Chicago, Miami, Los Angeles, San Francisco. 80% are ghettos of poor people, totally dissatisfied, frustrated, and poor, sometimes eating rats. But if you go to downtown, it's all big, big, beautiful, polished buildings with multimillionaires. But the rest of the city is generally ghettos. Why? It's like that all over the world, practically. But in America, although people are starving in their own country, and people are starving in China, and people are starving in Ethiopia, and people are starving in India to some extent. I remember years ago, they were throwing millions of gallons of milk in the ocean to keep the price of milk up. They were paying farmers to not grow any food on their land, millions of acres of land, to not grow crops, to keep the price of the crops up. In fact, I knew farmers, they told me they were paid more to grow nothing on their land than they would have gotten if they grew perfect crops on their land and sold it. Corn, wheat, barley, nutritious grains. There's the law of supply and demand. Today in America, I know because we feed poor people in America, and we sometimes approach the government for surplus foods. They spend millions and millions of dollars a year to have these massive refrigerated warehouses to store butter. And you'll go in a warehouse that's a city block long. Hundreds and thousands of pounds of butter. And they will not give it even to charity. Why? Because if they give it out, the companies that sell butter, they will not be able to make as much money because the prices will go down because there's so much. The poverty in this world is actually very, very systematically and intelligently created by greedy people. And here in India, how much land is being used for tea and for tobacco and grains for alcohol? That doesn't help anyone to live. If you're starving, a cigarette is not going to, or a bidi is not going to nourish you. How much land is being used for that? There's only one purpose, is you get people addicted to these things and you take their money. Correct? Poverty is due to ignorance. It's not due to shortage. The shortage is created because of ignorance. And we should not just be foolish little puppets being controlled by this ignorance. We should stand up for the truth. That will be the sign of our character. Today you go to the movies, the cinemas, and you see the macho man who fights and kills and gets the beautiful woman at the end of the movie. And everyone wants to be, I want to be like that. But the man is just a slave to his senses, a slave to his mind. Real strength, real integrity, real character is to stand up for truth, to speak it and live for it. That's what this world needs. That's what this country needs. And that is your responsibility as a human being. Yes.
People who are honest and sincere, if you're in this world, they suffer a lot.
People who are honest and sincere suffer in this world, he is saying. People who are dishonest and insincere also suffer. Huh? They're not enjoying good life. They're suffering a bad life. It is your illusion to think that they are enjoying a good life. They are suffering a terrible life. They might be under some momentary illusion that they're enjoying, but how long does it last? The results of their sins will come upon them. Their karma will crush them. It is just a matter of time. Someone who doesn't go to school
and who just goes out and does all crazy things. He's enjoying now, but you know that he will suffer in the future because he's wasting his life. So you do not take that seriously. In this world, everyone is suffering, today or tomorrow, except those souls who realize their pure spiritual nature, their transcendental nature. And on the spiritual path, we also suffer. Because the world, everyone has to suffer. You cannot deny it. Have you ever met anyone who never suffered? Have you? No, it doesn't exist. Everyone suffers. But let us bear our suffering for a higher cause, to achieve something great, which will take us beyond suffering, rather than bearing suffering simply to implicate ourselves in deeper, more complex sufferings. That is the choice that we have in our life.
One day in our country, all of the students who are going to schools and colleges will get proper education. Is it feasible that they will get the spiritual knowledge on these things?
In your schools, the ideal is in the schools they teach spiritual knowledge as well as occupational knowledge side by side. But unfortunately, that is not the case. You are learning your occupational education. So, we must approach those who can give us a spiritual education side by side. Our Guru Maharaj said, material education is like zeros. You have so many zeros. 1 zero, 2 zero, 10 zero, 100 zeros. The more you learn in material education, you are just accumulating more and more and more zeros. If you have 1,000 zeros at the time of death, and you add it all up, what does it become? Zero. You can have 100 crores of rupees. You can have so many beautiful decorations on your name, MS, PhD, doctorate. You can have so many wonderful people who adore you. But at the time of death, what do you have? It's all one big zero. But if you put a one in front of the zero, everything that follows the zero increases the value. And that one is knowledge of truth, an understanding of our relationship with Krishna or God. Then whatever follows only increases the value of our life. So yes, learn your studies. Do it as well as you possibly can according to your capacity. But do it with knowledge of the purpose of life and apply it to the purpose of your life. Then your education will have eternal, unlimited value. So we must cultivate spiritual knowledge side by side with our occupational education to give meaning, purpose, and fulfillment to our life. And you will get that by inquiring and learning from those who know, from spiritual professors like Radhesham Prabhu. He's a very compassionate, kind, and well-trained spiritual professor. He's also a graduate of IIT.
And he comes here simply to share this wisdom with students like you. Come and learn from such wonderful persons like this. You don't have to leave your school, but apply this wisdom to your daily life and discover the glories and the treasures of your own heart, your own soul. Yes. How long should we go? Questions and answers? Huh? 3 minutes? 15 minutes. All
right. How can I exactly use this engineering knowledge that I am going to get in the service of
Supreme? There are so many ways in which you can utilize whatever you have and whatever you know in service of the Supreme Lord. Let us say, after you get your degree, you get a job and you get married. Is that a possibility? First of all, as an engineer who is performing your occupation efficiently, you will have a certain influence on the rest of society because you are a professional. And people will look up to you, and people will respect what you say because you are an educated professional man, correct? And your example in life will very much influence others. If you are living a pure life, a holy life, if you are pursuing higher spiritual realizations, and you are influencing others to understand the necessity of purifying their own hearts, then you are doing the greatest service to God and to society. And when you work and you make money, if you use your money to make your home a holy place, a spiritual place, to elevate the consciousness of your wife, your children, your family, rather than just using your money to make your home just like a den for animals to just eat, sleep, mate, and defend and enjoy. That's a very, very great service as an example to others, and also a great service to God by raising your family according to such spiritual virtues. Bhagavad Gita teaches